So first of all, what was the first prayer that we prayed today in the service?
The confession of sin.
Confession of sin. Yeah, that's a prayer, right? It's a confession, but it's a prayer. It's a, if you look over the words of it, you'll see that, right? It's praying to God to remind us of the things that we've forgotten to do and also to help us to do them. Those kind of things, a prayer, right? Let me ask you another first. What was the first prayer you ever prayed that you remember ever in your life? The Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to?
Now I lay me down to sleep.
Now I lay me down to sleep. Mm-hmm. Any others? You can.
You are real. Show it to me.
Yeah, I know that one well from your testimony. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyone else? Young people, you remember the first prayer you prayed? Nikki?
In my old school, we would have our things that we were thankful for, and then pray for them in our hands, and then we would, like, lift them up to God.
Oh, wow.
It wasn't the step prayer, but it was that idea.
That's cool. Maybe you can teach us that, and we can do it, you know? Right? Have more interaction with the prayer and have these ideas to think about it. You know, anyone else? First prayer you can think of praying? I told them, there was Anthony was doing the tattooing for the kids yesterday at the fair, and there was a little girl that came over, and I said, how old are you? And she said, I'm 9. And I said, I don't remember when I was 9. And her father was laughing. And I said, I don't remember what I was doing when I was 50. that was an exaggeration. But you know, it's hard, but it's good to reflect on things like that. What, you know, in your life, with your relationship with God, what were you doing? What was the first thing you prayed for? What was the first Bible verse? What was your first introduction to God? You know, all these different things. We need to recall those things, because they inspire us, right? They bring us back into places where we were and who we are. And prayer is a big part of our lives when we think about it, you know. You may not have been praying way back, you know, when you were 9 years old or younger than that, but I'm sure that there was someone praying for you. You know, even when we're not praying ourselves, there are people praying. And we as a church body, especially for children today, when we remember the children who are coming, we want to remember how important it is to pray for them or to pray with them, to show them, even if it's brief. Let me ask you, while we're on a roll, what is a way that you have been involved with corporate prayer, praying together? What are some different ways that lives itself out in our lives? What are ways that we do corporate prayer? You know, what I mean by corporate prayer means like with more, like two or three are gathered.
Bible study,
yeah. Okay. What else?
Prayer meeting.
Family prayers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yesterday in the street, two or three of us would be praying for a person passed by. She said, do you have anything to pray for? She said, yes, and then we pray for her.
Yeah.
It's a
mm-hmm.
prayer.
Yeah, and people are open to it, right? Mm-hmm. Some are a little bit like, okay. But then, you know, when you start to pray for them, they you know, there was one woman who, I remember she was had her eyes closed. I was, you know, doing something else, and I looked over, and they were praying over this woman. And you know, she had her eyes closed. We never met her before, but there she was. There's, you know, Alfred had a great idea. We took us down the street, and we went in and prayed for some people in the stores during Sunday school. You know, and they let us. It wasn't like they were saying no, right? None of them said no. So there's spontaneous ways that we can do that and experience that kind of, I was thinking, you know, you've mentioned family prayers, but I was thinking, you know, of simply a prayer over a meal. One person is praying maybe, but you're all sitting together. And so it doesn't need to be everybody praying, but you're praying together with that person who's speaking the prayer. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when my father was, not a believer so much, but my mother really wanted him to pray for our food. And so he did. And I knew he wasn't a believer, and I remember one time talking to somebody about it, and I said that, you know, when we pray and my father prays, I don't know how to feel because I know he doesn't really have a faith. And this person said to me, I would be so happy if my father would pray at all. And so, you know, I underestimated the power of prayer and also my father doing that. And I wasn't really honoring him. So I learned when she told me that, that I needed to accept that as being a legitimate prayer, even though he may not have been doing it, you know, comfortably, but he did it. And he later became a Christian. We never know, right? We never know, but prayer is around us, you know? And, these verses today in 1 Timothy are really important ones. And, from what I can gather, they're oftentimes kind of overlooked. So it's good for us to look at these together and be reminded, right? Even though we pray, it's good to have reminders of these things so that we can learn to renew our prayers or to maybe learn something new. Jesus prayed. That's where we learn to pray. The disciples that teach us to pray. You know? And he prayed in his own life. He was the Son of God, and yet he prayed to the Father. And so he gave us a great example in himself of what to do. And he poured himself out in prayer in many different cases. He prayed for you and me, even though he, you know, we didn't know him at that time, but he prayed for the believers, the people that would gather in his name. In the book of John, there's this beautiful prayer that he prays for people that were to come. Right? And so Jesus is still praying for us now. Right? We may not be aware of it, but prayer is an endowment from God. It's a gift. Right? It's something that we may not be aware of the power that we possess in prayer in our lives. If I was to tell one of the guys, you know, I saw something about you that I want to mention to you because I think it's a gift and I want to bring it to your attention. You may not be aware of that, but it's something that you can use to not only enhance your life, but actually to bless other people. You know, it could be a gift in sports. It could be a gift in business. It could be a gift in something, you know, different dancing, everything. We have these different gifts that we have, that we are made aware of through people telling us. You know, and that's very important to do. Don't be shy about telling someone that you notice something about them. But once we know about that, then it's up to us to take that and do something with it, right? If we were just to say, oh, no, then we're neglecting someone telling us that God is really using that person to tell us, you have a gift for something, you should use that. And oftentimes we don't like to be told what to do. Even if it's good, you know, you're good at guitar. Oh, no. Well, guitar is a beautiful thing to play, but yet we react like that. And then maybe it needs a further encouragement. Maybe one time is not enough. So, you know, it builds that way. But what about prayer? Someone named Henry Emerson Fosdick said in his book, The Meaning of Prayer, how are we treating this best of our endowments? It's the best of our endowments. Prayer is the best thing we have been given and that we possess. How are we treating it? Are we treating it like something that's a pain and we really don't want to do and it gets in our way or we have to do it because someone's telling us to? Or are we recognizing that in someone telling us the importance of prayer, which is God and Paul here today, are we accepting that and saying, I'm going to really think that about that more? I'm going to think, okay, this is an endowment for me. It's a gift, something that I've been given that will express great power. How am I going to use that? Put it into practice. So think about something that you've been maybe putting off today that you can start to pray about. Okay, and then you'll be practicing and seeing that when he asks this question, how are we treating this best of our endowments? Oh, yeah, I learned that that's really important, and I am taking it very seriously now. And you know, it's made a difference in my life. It's amazing how often we'll hear that. Another kind of a negative here is pointed out for our good so that we will be able to have a spark of fire in prayer. The failure of the church, says Ralph Earle, a very, very learned Christian who wrote wonderful books to help people. The failure of the church to pray in accordance with this exhortation of Paul in 1 Timothy is one of its great sins today. So we want to look at this today and take up that challenge and say, we don't want to belong to those who are not praying in accordance with this exhortation. We want to listen to this and start to do it, right? We want to really practice that. Another man, Dwayne Lifton, said, Paul began what he considered most important. He began this letter to Timothy with this. What too often comes last in the church's priorities should actually come first. So we've got our priorities backwards. We're saying, I'll pray if I have to. I'll pray if I need something. I'll pray if we're really in trouble. You know, I'll pray if we, you know what I'm saying? So he's saying, switch it around. So the prayer priority is to make it first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, right? Make prayer first. What are you going to do? One of the biggest things that someone ever said to me, you know, it was embarrassing at the time, but he was a friend, and I was explaining something to him about that something was happening, and I was going on, and I spent so long explaining the problem and everything, and he said, well, did you pray about it? I was like, oops, no. And so I started praying about it, you know? I mean, but he told me that, and it's not always, you know, welcomed, and sometimes we feel kind of foolish, but that's a great thing to ask yourself. Have I prayed about this yet? Or am I carrying it around like it's a big rock on my back, you know, and I'm just going to keep on telling people how hard it is? Well, did you pray about it yet? And then, you know, sometimes you say, well, I did pray about it, but it didn't work. Well, God doesn't say you can just pray once and just pray without ceasing. Did you see this? Pray continually. Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Alex bought that for us. Good job. Right? And there's another one over there. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Right? So we have these reminders around us now. So you have no excuse anymore. You come in here and you say, did I pray? Well, it says right there. Pray continually, right? So those are the things we want to take a look at. So the church had the priority from the beginning of praying. Right? The Jewish people, when they come together, I'm talking about the Jews, not Christian Jews, but when you go to a synagogue and you come into a place of worship with the Jews, they pray and they sing the entire time they're together. They're praying over the Torah. So that is the book, the first five books of the Bible for them. And they do that without stopping. They pray constantly. And in the synagogue, at least, I don't know about people in society now, but at least in the synagogue, you'll see that, right? But the first Christians were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and the breaking of bread and to prayer. We read that in the book of Acts. They were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Prayer is there. So every time we gather, we want to pray, right? It has to be a part of that. Even if it's a simple prayer at the beginning, it's all a prayer. It's just like, you can't like say there's only one way of congregational corporate. So corporate prayer is corporate prayer. It's when you two or three together, right? If you guys were to start praying with people that you know as friends, that would be amazing. Right? So we can do it in that kind of a way, but just praying with your spouse or with your family members, or you know, get somebody and call them up and say, will you pray with me? There's a verse in Acts 2:42. Carefully select from among you brothers seven men who are well attested, full of the spirit and of wisdom, whom we may put in charge of this necessary task, but we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Acts 6:3-4, the early church devoted themselves to prayer. The apostles prioritized it even over serving needy widows. They needed to give attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This must be our priority as a church and as individuals, right? Ezekiel, we had a verse in Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 22 this week. I looked for a man from among them who would repair the wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land so that I would not destroy it, but I found no one. God was looking for someone to step into the gap and to be there for the people. That means to pray for the people. No one did it. So you see how delinquent we are and how we overlook the importance of prayer and the obedience of praying for people. There was huge problems going on, and there are huge problems going on in our society, in our classrooms, in our lives and families, in all these different things. And so we need to step into that gap. Be the one that God says, I need you to do this. And you say, I'll do that. It'll make a big difference for people, right? How do we prioritize? There's some good things I found this week, just that you probably know already. You can choose a day or a part of a day during the week or days where you want to really focus on prayer. You can buy a prayer journal, write out prayer requests, people's names, work through these prayer requests during the set times, have special times for prayer, and you will pray without ceasing. We have phones, we can put it on our phone. I have a phone call with an elderly woman every week. I put it down there, and I have her name on it, so I won't miss it. And the bell rings, and I'm reminded, and I do it. You can do the same thing for prayer. It's very easy to do now. We have really no excuses. We make time for corporate prayer. The Lord's Prayer says, our Father in heaven, right? We are praying together, and we're singing it each Sunday. So we are praying at the end of the service as well. Give us our day, daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Jesus said, again, I tell you the truth, if two of you on earth agree about whatever you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. For where two or three are assembled in my name, I am there among them. And so these are great reminders for us, right? To pray together, grab somebody and pray and start to do it. Don't fret. Don't despair. Don't get into that area. Before that begins to take place and take root, go to God immediately with that, just like my friend was reminding me. Did you pray about it? No, I need to pray about this. So when we look at this scripture now, in 1 Timothy 2:1, we see four different things of this first priority. Make your request things out of need, every sense of need. Prayers, a general term that is used to express worship and reverence toward God. You're coming before Almighty God, right? You're coming into His presence worshipfully and with reverence. This is the prayer. Intercessions means to fall in with someone, get involved with someone. Involve yourself in the situation someone's going through. It will immensely impact their life. Simply to tell a person, I am there for you. Right? I am there for you. That is the attitude that we go into prayer, right? To go to God and say, I'm in with this person, Lord, and they're hurting, and I want to pray to you for them. Right? Make an intercession for them. It expresses empathy. You're feeling what they're feeling. You have sympathy. You feel bad for them in that situation, and you want them to feel better. Compassion, same idea, to have this compassionate idea of loving them and feeling like, you know, I don't want you to feel this way, man or girl. And you say, I'm going to be there for you. It will immensely impact a life. When you start to pray, you get stronger and stronger. For those of you who are shy and you feel a little bit timid about saying something or being around people, join the crowd. I was that way too. I have a niece whose name is Carla, and we support her and her husband, Daniel Grenz. When she was a little girl, my sister Janet went to her and she said, Carla, look them in the eye when you speak to them. Look them in the eye when you speak to them. She taught her to look at people and not to be afraid, not to be shy. Why? Because you're using the gift that God has given to you to address a person with your full being. And you need to get over those things because it makes you stronger and you're a greater vessel for God. You're able to say to a person, right? You can do those things, right? I'm not saying that God can't use the way you are in any situation. What I'm saying is that God has great things to do through you. Don't be shy about that. And when you read the Bible and when you pray, you become stronger. It's not just because of yourself. It's because God is working in you, okay? And that's really what we want to do in our church. Remind each other, you know, come and see the things that you can do. Don't be shy. Being there, showing up is a great thing, right? Involvement in a person's life is an intercession in their life. And then last of all, thanksgiving, right? We're giving thanks today for the things that God gave to us. When we get up in the morning, we have something to eat. We had a bed to sleep in when kids are now without any place to sleep, right? And so we are being like Jesus was. He was there for other people. I read a really great quote. I don't know who wrote it, but he said this. Even those who will not allow you to speak to them about God cannot prevent you speaking to God about them. We can always pray for a person, even if they're not open to what we're saying to them directly. You can pray for them. Your participation in a person's life is not just when you're with them in person. Oftentimes, it's when you're away from them, but you're involved in their lives and in their well-being, and you're pleading to God and praying to Him. Right? I'll give you an example of Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor was a very famous missionary who was in China. I think you probably heard about him. But he went into a room when his parents were away, and they weren't around, and he started to read tracts. You know, we were handing out tracts about the Bible and about Jesus and different things. He was reading those in his father's study one Sunday afternoon, and his mother was constrained where she was to pray especially for her boy, who was called at that moment in that room reading those tracts to the Savior and to become the great Hudson Taylor from the China Inland Mission. It began by him picking up a tract, and his mother sensed through the Holy Spirit that she needed to pray. She prayed for her son. He received Christ in that moment, and he went on to serve God. She wasn't in the room with him. She was called by God to pray for him in that instance. Amazing story, right? There's another one of a very famous preacher and a very godly man. His name is Dr. R. A. Torrey. I've read books by him. He's really, really into the Spirit and amazing example. But he was also someone who was saved in a similar kind of a way. His name was Reuben. He was a dissolute young man who had left home, and he went out got up one night, and he got out of bed, and he was going to harm himself. He was really, really destitute. He was really, really sick and feeling heart sick. And his mother, miles away at that very hour, was also constrained to get out of bed and to pray especially for her son, who was tormented by this pain. And instead of taking his life, he was spared, and subsequently he went on to become a famous American evangelist. These people were not in the room. They were not with the person at that time. They felt the urge to pray for that person. The person knew that that moment that God was real, and they had hope, and their life was changed. These are the kind of things that happen when we are attuned to prayer. Any kind of a situation at all, we don't have to be there with the person. We could be miles away, but yet we're praying for them, and that's what we should be practicing as our church. Some of the examples of these first Christians and the people that lived at the time around the time of Jesus are amazing also. There was a guy named Clement. He lived in Rome in AD 96, and he lived during the brutal reign of a terrible emperor. Domitian was his name. This is what he wrote. To our rulers and governors on the earth, to them, thou, Lord, gavest the power of the kingdom by thy glorious and ineffable might, to the end that we may know the glory and honor given to them by thee, and be subject to them in naught resisting thy will. To them, Lord, give health and peace and concord and stability, that they may exercise the authority given to them without offense. Another one. Another person named Theophilus. Accordingly, honor the king, be subject to him, and pray for him with loyal mind. For if you do this, you will do the will of God. And that's also in our text for today, everybody, that we're supposed to be praying all of these things, but it says for all people, right? It says right here in this first, first of all, I urge that all these things, these prayers, be made for all people. Not just for the people that are close to you or the people that you want to be blessed by God. All people are to be blessed by God. Right? Everyone. All people, it says. And then he goes into kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. If we pray for the leaders that are here in existence, we'll be showing God that we're obeying his word to pray for them, and we don't have to agree with what they're saying. God doesn't say you're going to agree with everything the kings are doing, but we are to pray for them. Right? Do you believe a person, even a king or a president or someone who's a dictator, can change? We need to do that. Otherwise, we're underestimating the power of God. But oftentimes in our society, we're taught to complain and to try to hurt those people, or to hurt people that are even like following those people. Right? It's always we revert to violence so much in our country now. We are an incredibly violent country that prides itself on some kind of a Christian value, but it doesn't go. Right? And I have friends that live in other countries that are all like saying, oh, if the Americans would learn to just put down their guns and stop killing each other, maybe people would pay attention to them.
Yeah.
I'm serious. This is the way people are talking about our country. Are we praying for that? You know, are we praying for the leaders in our country to wake up? Are we praying for them to be changed in their hearts so that they won't continue to do the things that they're doing? There's a lot of corruption in our country. But we have to pray. Our part is to pray, just like these people were praying. They didn't say anything like, you know, these people are to be worshipped or something like that. What they're saying is that God has, in his sovereignty, allowed these people into office, and we need to pray for them. And it says in God's word right here that we're to do that, right? Why? It's pleasing. It's good and pleasing. In the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So these people are not, it's not just like help them, you know, to govern in a way that is better for everybody. It is so that they'll be saved. They'll be saved by Christ. They'll be saved by Jesus, the same Christ that we know, and the one who we also, in our sins, were forgiven by. Right? We're forgiven by Jesus. We're no better than anyone. Do we believe that? I mean, it says it right in the Bible, right? For all have sinned. It says, but pray for all people. Right? It's not just the ones that, you know, that we choose to pray for. It's designated here. And this is what he's talking about. These guys are talking about when they're saying that this has been neglected and it's a sin not to carry out these prayers for them. So let's start to pray for them. Right? It's just like turn it around again. The priority has to be there. It has to be the first thing that we do. Right? So as a church, we need to start to remind each other of this. Have you prayed about this, for this situation that we're living in? Right? In your daily lives? Have you been praying for the leaders? Right? Do you guys know the leaders by name in our state? Do you guys know? If the best way to do it is by praying for them. Get a list and go through that list and just, you know, I mean, pick a time. It doesn't have to be necessarily every day, but the guy just said, you know, pick a time and pray for them, but just make sure that you're doing that. And we need to do that because it says here, but it's an order from God. He wants them to be saved. He wants them to taste the salvation that we all have, right? There's one God and there's one mediator between God and man. Men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself up as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. Yesterday at the street fair, we met different people, right? They came by. There was all different kinds of people. One guy at the very end came up, and you know, it was the end of the day, and we were kind of wrapping up. And he looked at me, and I looked at him, and he came over to the table, and he started to look at these things, and he said, you know what? I've been a Christian for 20 years. I learned something about him right away. Unsolicited. He just said it to me, right? And I said, oh, that's amazing. And he said, yeah, these books over here, these little books, like they'll fit right into my bag. These are perfect for me to have. And there's like five or six boxes of those books sitting in the room over there, right? So it wakened me up to the fact that we have to open up the boxes and start bringing them out and handing them out. You know, we don't know who's going to come by a street fair, but we don't know who's going to come into our life. We need to be prepared, right? And there were other people that came by, and they had different things. There was one who said, I guess Marissa and Candy were talking to this guy, and they struck up a conversation, and he said, well, I guess I'm an agnostic. I don't know. I just want my kids to have something good in life. I want them to live in a place and to have something that is going to be safe for them and everything. You know, so you learn all these different things from somebody you never heard of or met before. People will talk, right? We have to engage with people, but it takes getting out there and doing it. That's why we do this each year. That's why we go to Jesus in the Park. That's why we do things in different fellowships to meet people. We had a person come to Christ for the Mid-Autumn Festival, right? And she came in. What did it take? A phone call. After years of not talking, right? The person comes in and they're saved that night. Exactly what God is talking about. We start to pray, praying for those people. Do you see how important it is to pray for people? And these are the things that God is reminding of us. It's an amazing thing. When we come together for any kind of an event, or if we come together for any kind of a planning, we need to pray more. And that falls on me. You know, I have to keep reminding people, did you pray before you went out? Did you pray before you did these things? Did you pray before you had the meeting? Did you pray? You know what I mean? It's like we cannot forget to pray. And it's not because it's like something on a checklist. It's because God will give us the power through that prayer. He acknowledges it, and he also demands it from us because he knows that he has the things that we need. So at the end, Paul is saying, I told you about Jesus Christ, that he was our Savior, and this is the testimony given at the proper time. The testimony at the proper time. What is the proper time for you to share your custom? I've seen a lot of people online sharing Facebook stuff. When have you shared Jesus Christ there? When are you going to introduce yourself as a Christian? When are you going to say, Jesus is my Lord and Savior? He is my King. My life is about him. Let's start doing that. I point away from myself and I point to Christ. And if you want to know who I am, he's here. This cross, it means everything to me. It means that I was dead and now I am alive. Right? Share the testimony at the proper time. When the Bible teaches you that, you have to move on it, man. And the best thing you can do is identify yourself as soon as possible to all of your family members and all of your friends so that they can be saved. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't hide it behind you. Put it out in front, right? Use your gifts to make these like Nikki did, right? Use your gift for these kind of things and you can hand them out. That's a way of speaking to someone about who you are. Right? We have a lot of creativity in our church. We need to be using it. Do you guys hear what I'm saying?
Yep.
Step out. Take a risk. Come up with something. Use your life. Use it around prayer. Take these words from today and turn it into something that in your life is going to be visibly prayer-driven and going to speak, make a message and make a statement in this world to people that are dying and that God has told us to reach out to, and begin by praying and making time for our leaders. Get to know them by name. Send a card and say, I'm praying for you. No? There's other ideas. We can get lots of, everybody has great ideas. I know. There's like so many because God gives everybody ideas to do them, but let's put them into action so we can really live this out. Amen?
Amen.
So let's sing a song of response.